Welcome to Clap Back Get the Facts podcast, where we are providing you with the information you need to know about what's politically impacting Black women across the country. In a world filled with myths and disinformation, we provide you with the real. If you're a Black woman, representing Black women, or in the community with Black women, we are here to clap back and give you the facts. Thank you for joining episode 3. Is Vice President Harris a drag on President Biden? It is time to end the senseless attack on VP Harris. We will be sharing facts and dropping gems. So let's get ready to clap back, get the facts.
Welcome to Clap Back, Get the Facts podcast. I am your host, Holly Holiday. I am joined, as always, by my compadres, Simone Henderson and Chantel Mullen. Hi, y'all.
Hey, Holly. What's happening?
Oh, well. Today we're here to talk about one of my very favorite things. I'm sure we will do many episodes on this topic of Vice President Kamala Harris, because I am unapologetically a Vice President Kamala Harris fan, and I'm going to do anything necessary to make sure that we have set the record straight on who she is, how she's showing up, and what she's doing. And I am prepared to do all of those things to ensure that she has a fair opportunity to become the president of these United States. So let me thank the people for joining us. We are in episode 3, still in our first season. And today the question of the hour is Vice President Harris a drag on President Biden? It's time to end the senseless attacks on Vice President Harris. We will be sharing the facts and dropping gems. So let's get ready to clap back, get the facts. Woo! All right, let's just be honest. Vice President Harris has been under attack for a while. I mean, if we're being honest, we could actually probably go back and look at her first race as prosecutor back in San Francisco and see the genesis of where a lot of these attacks started to kick off. But since we're not going to go back quite that far, we can absolutely look at even before she was announced as Joe Biden's running mate. We saw that critics were saying that she would in fact be a drag on the Biden campaign. When that turned out not to be true, they moved on and said she would be a drag on his presidency. We are now in the reelection campaign, and it's dragging again. And I'm just kind of say today, I want to really dig into and explore what exactly do they think she's dragging on. And let's get the facts once and for all about Vice President Harris, in the White House, as well as on the campaign trail. Let's get ready to clap back and get the facts. So getting into this conversation, I want to start here. I don't think we really know what the hell the vice president does anyway. I mean, as Americans, do we recognize what is her real responsibility as vice president? And interestingly enough, I found this quote from John Adams, who was actually the very first vice president of these United States, who famously called the job the most insignificant office that ever the invention of man contrived. And I feel like if for the most part, this has been pretty factual for the last 235 years that we've had vice presidents. And then Kamala Harris came along, broke the mold, being a woman, being a Black woman, being a Southeast Asian woman, and became the Democratic nominee. And then the vice president, and this position will not ever be the same. Now, let's talk about what it is, though, before we get into how she changed it. We go to our resident legal expert, Chantel Mullen. Tell us about how we even got here with vice presidents in this country.
Well, good day, everybody.
Good day.
You know, here's the thing. I really want to go to a real legal explanation, but what I really want to say is nobody cared what the vice president did, because since the founding of this country, every vice president has been a white man.
What? Tell the truth. What was they again?
A white male. And so what we knew from the outset is it didn't matter who was the president, he was going to be replaced by a white male, period, if something happened to the president. And so the paradigm shift, the hyper focus on what is the role of the president, vice president, is only because of who is sitting in the seat, because we now have a Black woman who is sitting a heartbeat away from the top seat. Nobody cared. So I did a thought experiment with some friends. And so I posted on my Twitter page and on my, and it's still Twitter. I don't care nothing about no X. And on my Facebook page, I asked them to name me the last three vice presidents and tell me three substantial things that each one of them accomplished during their presidency. The only thing, there was one person who actually knew all of them. And the most substantial thing that they could remember was Dick Cheney shooting somebody.
I was just about to say, that was the first thing that came to my head was Dick Cheney getting shot in the butt.
And no, shooting someone.
Oh, okay. Remember, see, I even had it wrong.
He shot his friend. They were on a hunting trip. He shot his friend.
Okay.
Could you imagine Kamala Harris shooting somebody?
Oh, that would be the death.
All right. The other thing that people remembered was Dan Quayle spelling potato wrong. So, you know, the role of the president, the role of the president, because I'm just calling, she's going to be president. The role of the vice president, I'm speaking it into existence.
Yes,
the role of vice president is to serve the president. You're effectively a lady in waiting, and you do whatever the president says. You have no message in and of yourself, because your role is to uphold the president's agenda. You may think differently on an issue, but you are second in command. And this has been every since essentially the founding. I mean, when we first had the vice president, you have to remember that the vice president wasn't from the same party. They were from opposite parties, because when this country was founded, the president got the most votes and the vice president got the second most votes. So these people from different parties, we changed it throughout the history. But basically, the vice president only has a couple of things that are required in the Constitution. Yeah. They preside over the Senate. They serve as a tie-breaking vote, which Madam VP has the most tie-breaking votes in history as of this. She's broken the most ties. Oversee impeachment trials and supervise the counting. Not to count, but supervise the counting of the Electoral College vote. You know, and back when Pence was the vice president, there was some question about what his actual role was with the Electoral College. It was simply just to count it. Presidents have tasked vice presidents with various things over the years, but that's at the pleasure of the president. And those things are not constitutionally required. So
what, Simone, tell us, what is the White House saying about this? What are they saying her responsibilities are?
To do exactly as she's been doing, which is to be great and to be as Chantel hit on it, her role is to be a trusted advisor to the president, is to help troubleshoot, is to be out there and to help communicate the unified message of the political and official goals of the White House and the office of the president. And that is exactly what she is doing, traveling this country and overseas all the time, doing just that, doing her job.
So this, I think, begs the question, and I think you started to answer it, Simone. How's she doing? How's she doing with her job, with her official duties?
Phenomenal. And I think Chantel, like I said, she hit on it. Holly, you kind of mentioned it. The role of the vice president has evolved and the different responsibilities has evolved. And you see Vice President Harris really taking initiatives in some policy areas that she's passionate about, expanding the visibility of things like Black maternal health, which has been something that she's been passionate about for years. So she's taken this opportunity to really elevate issues that, one, impact her for who her demographic is, but then elevating other policy areas that may not have gotten attention by others. And I think that that's a testament to when people, you know, want to throw around, she's not doing anything. She's doing a whole hell of a lot. And she's doing it, but not necessarily behind the scenes, but she's doing it the way the vice president should be doing it. She's traveling, she's meeting with folks, she has helped expanding these. But at the end of the day, you are second in command, and we allow the president to take the front seat.
Chantel, how you think she's doing?
You know, I have a very controversial answer.
Oh, well, we're here for it.
You know, I think she's doing great, because she's doing what the president wants her to do, which is her job. But my problem is the shifting standard, because the more she does, the more people want her to do.
Yeah.
And okay. My issue is, if you didn't ask Mike Pence, you didn't ask Joe Biden, you didn't ask Dick Cheney, you didn't ask Al Gore, you didn't ask Dan Quayle, you didn't ask George H.W. Bush, you didn't ask Walter Mondale, you didn't ask Nelson Rockefeller, and I'm just going back to the 1970s. If you didn't ask where them white men were, don't ask me where the hell Kamala is and what she doing. She's doing exactly what they were doing.
Now let's put that in quotes and call that the clapback statement right there. If you didn't ask all the white boys what they was doing, don't come for her now.
Right. And I think that is something that happens to Black women. Is people require more when they get into the role, and they weren't asking these questions. Now, I'm not saying the questions should not have been asked. I'm just simply saying, if you ain't ask it of them, don't ask it of her. Don't run around. Nobody, let's go back. Mike Pence was the head of the COVID pandemic committee. How many folks died? Can somebody give me how many folks died? Okay.
I'm like, y'all can't get me started on Mike Pence being in charge of anything, considering what he did to the state of Indiana.
Let's talk about it, especially
something health related for the health epidemics that have run rampant due to his policies. That's what you need to focus. Was he qualified to be a vice president after what he did as a governor in Indiana? But we don't ask those questions.
Well, what we do know, though, is that those same perspectives that he brought to being governor of Indiana was the foundation of creating the huge disparity in COVID-related deaths between white people and Black people in this country. A disparity, by the way, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris closed. But we know going in, coming into the pandemic and right up until Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were elected president and vice president, that we were left with a huge disparity. I think it was almost three times the number of deaths for Black people as is white people in COVID. And we were able to actually see those disparities close. So I think, as they say, the record speaks for itself, but the reality is that we don't really know the record as we should. And before we get into all the pieces of the record, I want to just call out some of the ways in which we see the critics arguing as to why Vice President Harris is not doing her job or is causing a drag, not just in the administration, but on the ticket itself. I mean, is that a reality? Have we seen that? And if so, how?
I don't believe so. I think that she energizes and engages a base that has, you know, that says they're represented, but now you have the visual representation. She is there. She looks like she is part. And so you can't, if anything, she's an enhancement to what is already going on, as any vice president should be. But I think she does it in a way that is obviously unlike any other vice president has done or could have done.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think the attacks on her are not about 2024. I think the attacks on her are about 2028. And if we look back at the history of the Republican strategy, they start lobbying attacks at people long before they move into power or move, because they see what's coming. They play the long game. And I think in some instances, we have some groups who don't understand that the strategy is basically to poison the well, but not just poison one well, poison the wells as you walk along the path. So every place it's sour. And if you keep saying something long enough, people start to believe it. For example, I was writing about something the other day, and it was about a New York Times article. And something the New York Times wrote, I was like, y'all need to realize that you give oxygen to these things. And then I went back because New York Times had also done this really great database where they cataloged all of President Trump's tweets. And so you were able to look at some of the things that he said. And so one of the things I wanted to think about was, you know, we heard the Sleepy Joe, the Sleepy Joe, the Sleepy Joe. Well, when I went back and looked at it, before this presidential campaign started, you can look back to, let me give you a timeline. They took Trump off of Twitter after January 6th. So all of the tweets that I'm talking about predate January 6th of 2020, when President Biden subsequently took office later in January of 20. I hope I said January, not July, but January 6th. So they took him off of Twitter sometime after, right after January 6th. If you go back and look at that history, you will see how many times Donald Trump repetitively called Biden Sleepy Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So he talked about his health, his vigor, his stamina, and he just kept saying it over and over and over. And if you look at that, it has sunk in to the ethos of our conversations. People talk about it regardless of whether it's true or not. It's just there and they repeat it. And so the same thing is happening with Vice President. if you continue to say she's a drag, you go get these opinion writers to drop all these opinion pieces about, oh, she's a this, and none of it is based in fact. None of it is based in fact. And none of it is based in historical fact and in historical comparisons, because the truth is we got this woman flying all over the country doing all these things, and the vice presidents before her did not have to do this level of work to prove, quote unquote, that they were competent. They were competent because they were, quote unquote, white males. And everybody assumed their competency, even though we had one who could not even spell potato right. And another one who shot their friend on a hunting trip. So I think it's ridiculous. The level of things she has to do that weren't required by the 40 some white men that came before her.
And I think that is absolutely got to be, you know, our biggest takeaway here is that we cannot hold her to a different standard from the standard that we've held for all the previous VPs. And most importantly, even though perhaps the standard should be changed, it should not be changed simply because a woman and a Black woman and a Southeast Asian woman now holds the job. That cannot be the trigger.
Correct. At all.
So, what are some of the things for you all that have been impressive about what she's been able to accomplish? Some things that would not only show that she is doing her job as we've discussed, but I would argue exceeding the standard for her job and potentially preparing her to be a viable candidate for president in 2028. What's top of the list for you?
I think you have to start with the number of things that have now been recognized because of her policy focus areas. I mentioned earlier the attention that Black maternal health has been elevated and recognized in the White House as addressed in statements. You have these more abstract, for lack of better words, programs of her working on space and getting, you know, funding for HBCU colleges and whatnot to have these diverse programs that other schools are offered or have the funding to do so. She's really put her attention into elevating and making a lot of spaces just more equitable across the board. I think you think back, she had the first Juneteenth celebration. Not only did it become a holiday, but then she hosted the first one at her home. So I think, like I said, it's the elevation and recognition that a lot of areas are getting because they are passionate to her. And we now get to see them on a national level get the recognition and funding they deserve.
I love that. I love that. Well, and
Well, I have a couple of things. One, I saw a video today where the vice president was greeting some young ladies of color. And one of the little girls called her auntie. And then she said, I'm the vice president of my class. Mm-hmm. And the vice president said, welcome, Madam Vice President. I think we are going to see generational impact because just like there were young men who saw themselves, young Black males who possibly saw themselves as a president when they saw Barack Obama, we're going to have a generation of Black girls, Southeast Asian girls, girls of color, girls, period. Because not only is she the first Black woman, she's the first woman.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to see that resonate generationally. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I don't think she gets credit for is her strategic approach to equity and problem solving.
Absolutely.
Because there are places where we have seen that the Republicans are very litigious. So if you look, for example, right after Biden-Harris took office, they rolled out a policy package for Black farmers to address the ongoing discrimination that's been happening for decades. And it really hadn't been addressed head on. So they rolled out a package specifically for Black farmers, which the Republicans turned around immediately and sued. And so that has been held up. But what they did was go back and look at the data. And then they crafted a solution for farmers that it didn't say Black farmers, but it said it was based on data. And if you knew the data, you knew that the target audience was Black. The same way with the student loan relief. If you know who the target audience is and you look at the data, you know that it's Black without them saying it's Black. Because I actually remembered looking at some stats that Elizabeth Warren had put out during her campaign, where she talked about the percentage of debt owned by student loan debts owned by whites. Whites who owed like more than 50%, it was only like 6%. But if you looked at Black people who had student loan debts, the overwhelming majority of them still owed more than 50% of their debt. So if you are relieving student loan debt, who owns the majority of that debt? It's Black folks. And if you have people who are able to look at the data and then craft policy solutions that are facially neutral, but still can get to your target demographic, you have done a wonderful thing, because they've, you know, the Republicans are still suing, but they've still been able to find solutions, both in small business and student loans for farmers, and they're doing it in other areas. Insulin is another one. Who is the majority of people who are on insulin? Seniors and Black people. And so they're doing facially neutral policies, but they are still hitting their demographics. And I think that the people who are out here saying it doesn't say Black, it doesn't have to say Black. We're looking at the result, not the title.
The impact. That's what we have to focus people on.
Yes.
So I think it has been made absolutely clear where we stand and where we are. And just to be, just to make sure that you have gotten it and that you get it. First and foremost, Vice President Harris should be measured by the official standards for being a vice president, as have all of the white men who precede her been measured. And when measured by this standard, there is no doubt that Vice President Harris may go down as one of the history's greatest vice presidents, but absolutely clear that she has met and exceeded the official standard for being a vice president. She has been a valuable asset as a running mate, and she, and as a running mate in particular, you know, coming on to the ticket, they said she would be a drag because of the attacks, when in fact she became one of the top fundraisers, raising the most money in a single day immediately upon joining the campaign in 2020. She continues to be a top fundraiser. She has shown herself as an emissary to groups that are lukewarm towards President Biden. I like the two of them together, even because I think they provide the kind of balance and attraction for a big tent party like Democrats that have a lot of diverse coalitions and interests. She has been a stalwart for Black people, other people of color, for younger voters. She has been and emerged as a forceful voice on women's issues in a way that is more credible than any man could ever be. And because of that, at a time like this, when Republican, mostly men, are trying to roll back our rights on what we can do with our own bodies. It is refreshing to have such a strong national leader on things like abortion and women's health care and Black maternal morbidity in a way that we could not have but for a Vice President Harris. And let's be honest, we know that Trump threatens freedom and individual choice. And as the prosecutor she is, Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, is standing up to make the case to the American people that that is not what we need. I think the call to action is really clear. We need more folks. We need to call on the sisterhood on this one. We need the sisterhood to very clearly, simply, and frequently clap back against attacks on Madam Vice President. If you see an article or a post or a news story or a podcast, even if you hear some foolishness and casual conversation, if you are in the proximity of any of those things, we're calling on you to clap back. Be ready to set the record straight. Remind people of the actual standard for Vice President and that she meets or exceeds this standard. Discuss the trust that President Biden has placed in her to lead key initiatives like the ones we've discussed, including but not limited to those that highlight issues important to women and people of color and other folks living on the margins. And be ready with a few things that may have personally inspired or impacted you to share that work. The Vice President is our sister, and we must be our sister's keeper. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us here on Clap Back, Get the Facts podcast. We hope that you are leaving knowing what your true assignment is. And today, that assignment is to be ready to stand up for the Vice President. We will be back with more next week. Until then, Chantel, Simone, thank you so much. Another episode in the bank. See you all soon. I didn't know what it was going to be, but the bank seemed good enough to me.
All right, bye.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for joining us here on Clap Back, Get the Facts podcast. We hope that you're leaving feeling more informed and ready to provide others with the facts. We would love to hear your biggest takeaways from this episode. So post the show on your Instagram story and tag us at Sisters Lead. Also, if you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, please leave a review so others can get some sense of the facts that we're providing. Finally, if you would like to learn more about local resources and other projects we're working on, go to sisterslead, sistersvote.org.